To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a view of an unknown beach on the shores of an unknown body of water at an unknown time of day comes to us from an unknown Facebook friend who shared this scene from somewhere on or around March 19th, 2021. If this photo is yours and you'd like to fill in the blanks of all the unknowns and receive proper photo credit, give us a heads up and I'll update the blog after the fact. Well, it's Monday and I share this simple yet beautiful yet barren scene this morning because I have been plagued with thoughts concerning an ongoing problem in my life that I just don't know what to do about. And today I am contemplating having a conversation I don't want to have because depending on how it turns out, it may lead to having to do some things in the near future that I don't want to do. But I can't move forward without knowing, and I can't just ignore the situation either. My life is actually pretty great right now, but there is this one situation that is stealing my peace. And as much as I trust the Lord, the situation involves someone who is far removed from Him, and my continued prayers on their behalf have done nothing to change that. And I can't trust that they are working on resolving their own problems. So instead of praying for them, which, well, in addition to praying to them, I'm going to talk to them, and I don't like it. But before diving into the unknown to try to figure out what the future holds, I am going to draw close to the Lord with today's message because I need His strength and His truth to guide me. I need it every day, and some days more than others. So it's the 17th day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracia Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. And this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional is our hope that we'll get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And so we continue, journey day 17. Thus far, we have heard, and this is Martin Luther writing, thus far, we have heard the first part of Christian teaching, and in it we have seen all that God wishes us to do and not to do. The creed properly follows, which sets forth all that we must expect and receive from God. In short, it teaches us to know Him perfectly. It is given in order to help us do what the Ten Commandments require of us. For, as we said above, they are set so high that all human ability is far too puny and weak to keep them. Therefore, it is just as necessary to learn this part as it is the other, so that we may know where and how to obtain the power to do this. If we were able by our own strength to keep the Ten Commandments as they ought to be kept, we would need nothing else, neither the Creed nor the Lord's Prayer. From Martin Luther. And today's biblical wisdom that's paired with that is from Matthew 28:18-20, which says, "And Jesus came to them and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" At this point, they would ask us to, our devotion to ask us to sit in silence for meditation. So pause the podcast or stop the reading and sit quietly for 60 seconds or a few minutes or 10 to 15 minutes or however long you feel comfortable with and have time for. Focus on your breath and the calm stillness in the present moment that is always available for us in God's creation. Meditate on Martin Luther's comments for the day and the content today's biblical wisdom. And when you're done with that, you can ponder the questions that are given to us today. And the first one is, how does the focus on the Apostles' Creed follow from the Ten Commandments? Well, it follows that if we respect the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, to have no other gods before us, would cause us to proclaim the truth about what we believe to be the one true God, The Apostle Creed declares our belief in the one true Trinitarian God, which is that is revealed in the Bible, and that empowers our faith. I gotta add that last part, because he does empower our faith. Sort of messed up the first read-through. Anyway, the next question is, what is Luther's logic for putting the creed after the Ten Commandments in the Catechism? I can't know for sure, but I believe that Luther's logic for putting the creed after the Ten Commandments could be for three reasons. One, the creed spells out the truth of the one true God that we worship in the first and all of the Ten Commandments. And two, the law came before God the Son was revealed to be Jesus, so chronologically it makes sense, progressive revelation. And as he indicates in his comments, number three, the creed spells out how we will receive power to live a life of obedience. Yeah, that's it. It spells out how we will live. Basically, we believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's how our faith in the power of the Holy Spirit will make us overcome and live an obedient Christian life. That's how. Our love for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit drives our ability to live the Christian life. And we're moving along to the third question, teaching that what Jesus has commanded us is part of Jesus' great commission to his followers. What is exactly is it that we are supposed to teach? And it asks us to see Matthew 22, 36 through 40, and Matthew 13, 24 through 35. How is this teaching to be done? It asks. Well, first, Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in Matthew 13, 31 through 35, not sure why they included 24 to 31, because it's just about Judas, you know, leaving the 12 to go to betray him. So I'm not sure what, well, I guess, you know, that teaches us that some of us will walk away. But the verses that I think they wanted to highlight is 31 through 35, which say, So when he had gone out, Judas leaving, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I say be with you, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So, again, Jesus is commanding that we love one another. That second commandment, you know, love your neighbors as yourself, or love one another. So, while these two passages focus on Jesus' two great commandments, to love God and to love people, as his disciples, we are to pass along all that we have learned from Jesus. This would include his respect for all of Holy Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Bible, the contents thereof, and to apply its wisdom to God's Word to our lives. So that's what we're supposed to teach. What are we supposed to teach? Just everything the Bible tells us and everything it would lead us to do. This would also include teaching the spiritual disciplines that Jesus did, like praying, reading scripture, preaching, evangelizing, and teaching others to follow his ways. We should teach, you know, how should we teach? We should teach with both words and actions. And that moves us along to our psalm fragment from our devotion today, which comes from Psalm 63, 5 through 7. And it says, my soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. And our journal reflections tell us to write about how it feels to change the focus of your meditations from what God would have you do, sort of like a commandment, and to the nature of God, what God's like. When I shift the focus of God to God's nature from what he would have me do, I find rest. Because when I focus on the love and goodness of God, as well as his righteousness and holiness, I'm comforted that I am following a good teacher and a loving father, and his commands are not burdensome when I perform them because of the love I have for him. The next journal reflection asks us to say the Apostles' Creed aloud and reflect on what strikes you as you say it. Write about what in the Creed is easy for you to believe and what is difficult to believe. Explain. Well, okay, the Apostles' Creed says, and I declare, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth in the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Before coming to Christ, I suppose I found most of the Creed to be difficult to believe, but now I know it all to be true. And although it is hard to imagine what life everlasting will be like, I know from my experience with the Lord and from Holy Scripture that he is a good, loving, and trustworthy. He may call us to do hard things in life, but he calls us to the best life and to become the best me, the person he created me to be. So I believe it all, and I rejoice. And our final journal reflection asks us to read Psalm 63, 1 through 3. And ask the question, do you hunger as the psalmist does to know God better? Meditate on this hunger. In what ways is this 40-day journey with Martin Luther helping to satisfy your longing? Well, let's see. Psalm 63, 1 through 3 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Yes, I do hunger to know God better. I do, you know, as the psalmist says, I do rise early in the morning. I just say that, right? Yeah. Early will I seek you. That's what I do. Anyway, this 40-day journey is helping me satisfy this longing by causing me to remember the fundamental truths of our faith that transcend the problems of this world. My faith, my relationship with God, gives me peace, and there's nothing that can take that away from me, because nothing can separate me from his love. And you know, with our life of faith, you know, when we have a burden on our heart, resolve issues or try to work on issues with our relationships or whatever we're faced with, you know, when we get a burden like this, we have to do something, you know, as much, or we could just do nothing, but sometimes, you know, you're called to action, or you're called to show love for somebody, or to do something, and so what do? We pray, we ask the Lord what we do. And for me, I have to talk to someone. You know, I have to talk to someone about a problem. It's an ongoing problem. And frankly, it's not my problem, and I could wait, and I could just sit and watch. But that's not what I'm being called to do. I'm being called to try to help and to show love By encouraging them to right their situation, change their perspective, to do what's right in life. That's all I can do. Now, whether or not you choose to do what's right, that's up to you. But, you know, if your life is affecting others, you know, you don't have the right to do that necessarily, you know, and broken relationships can develop from that, from your failure to do the right thing. You don't have the right, you know, you have the right to choose what you want to do, but you don't have the right to impose that on everyone else. We can live with the consequences of your sin, but it doesn't mean we have to live with the, you know, we can live with it in one respect, but we don't have to live with it in another, quite literally, you know, we can cast you out and release you to Satan, as they say, you know, let your sin bear the full consequences by breaking fellowship with you and, you know, asking you to, you know, to leave our company. And sometimes it's a hard thing to do. But before we go and do stuff, we should talk, you know. Want to hear your heart on this matter. You know, this Saturday I had someone reach out to me for help, and I was sort of at a loss. Their cry was desperate, so I didn't even know if it was genuine, you know. It seemed like melodrama from where I was sitting, and maybe a call for financial assistance, you know. Send me money, that'll help, you know. But I didn't get there. I just basically told them to go to a local church, you know. The person was contacting me from out of state, you know, probably because of the podcast and because of the blog. They threw out a bunch of stuff, and I said, you know what, I can't really do anything with this via email. So I refer you to the local church, go to a pastor and ask for help and to answer the questions of your faith. And quite frankly, that not only will they, you know, going to a local church, answer the questions of your faith, it'll put you in fellowship with a community that you need to attach to when you're lonely. You know, if you're lonely and you feel that the Lord is far from you, go to the church. Run to the sanctuary. Anyway, really got the midst there. I apologize, because now we're going to continue with our daily 40-day journey with the prayers for the life of faith. Let's see. And the first one is, pray that you will come to understand better any difficulties you may have with the creed during the next few days. Lord, I pray that you will give me a better understanding of the mysteries of our faith that are contained in the creed, and to help me know the path before me for the next few weeks and the next few days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And finally, the prayer for today from today's 40-day journey is, gracious God, open my mind and heart, my body and soul, to the knowledge of you and your great salvation, so that I may live more fully and deeply in your love and grace. Amen. That moves us along to today's Bible verse, which comes to us from the quick scripture reference for counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses actually comes from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's section of scripture is Philippians 4:11 through 13. And the Word of God says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Sorry, it's a different version. That's the ESV. Today's verses fall under the third point of the Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, or actually the fourth point. The fourth point is, Paul learned contentment even in the most difficult circumstances of life. Today's verses put Philippians 4:13 in its proper context. The verse that tells us we can do all things means that we can be content regardless of the circumstances. With God, we can do a lot. We can do the impossible. But it doesn't mean we won't suffer. And it doesn't mean we will get everything we ask for in life. Our Heavenly Father knows best and works all things together for good. But some of those things that are worked out for good can be pretty bad. We can and will suffer pain and loss in life. And thus, we are to draw close to God and remember the hope of our salvation to help us to be content in those tough times. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And today, he prompts us to read Luke chapter 6. And from Luke chapter 6, he shares Luke 6:32, which says, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." And Alford writes, "For the perfect example of the principle enshrined in this verse, read John 3:16, 14:23, Romans 5:18, Galatians 2:20, and 1 John 4:10. And then he continues to write, "God loved a world that was at enmity with him. When he sent his beloved son, the world did not receive him. Even his own did not receive him. John commended his love toward us as individuals in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the Apostle John says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Notice also Galatians 2:20, God also has a special love for his own children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. God's children, though, are called to obey him, and in so doing, they demonstrate their love. God loves the unlovely and unloving, and so must I." And finally, he prays us out, "Help me to have compassion for and embrace those who do not love me, for your name's sake. Amen." Amen. Yeah, when we call people to do what's right, they might not love us for it. You know, if we tell people they're living in sin and they need to change the way they live and be responsible people, they might not love us for it. They might call us unloving. We don't know, you know, their troubles. We don't know their situation. That our solutions are, you know, too simplistic or whatever. Or they're not capable of doing what's right. You know? So they might not love us back. And that's why we have to love them all the more. And sometimes, you know, well, as much as we'd rather leave things alone sometimes, we have to get in there and love somebody. And sometimes that's having tough conversations. And, you know, sometimes that's like Paul sent his epistles, releasing people to Satan. Like, whoa, that's tough. You know, that's tough love. No one likes it. I know I don't like it, and I don't want to do it. I'd rather not. I'm not a confrontational person for the most part, but the word convicts me, and you know, it moves me, and the Holy Spirit moves me. And if I could just ignore it, I would. There are situations in our lives that we have to. Sometimes we have to go in there and talk and see what happens and make people accountable for their decisions in life. So we'll see how it plays out. So prayers for the unknown name situation. If you've been following the blog, you've probably guessed. That's another thing. And today's a Monday, so we have the difficulties of a regular life and work on top of other things. And that's why, you know, with a busy life, you might want to just let things go. But you can't. You know, you gotta fix what you can fix. You gotta try to take care of what you can take care of and leave the rest up to God. And believe me, I'm leaving the rest up to God. And believe me, I am praying. But I need to know what to do. And there's a bunch of variables I don't know about, and I need to be informed. So you gotta can't just assume that people are in a certain place, or they, you know, they understand their situation. You have to confirm it, and then you'll know how to respond better. Otherwise, we're just reacting, and sometimes maybe we do want to just react, but you know, as long as it's better to respond with knowledge rather than react without it. Anyway, so it's my prayers today for anyone who has a problem. Maybe it's just getting up today. Trust me, it's better if you get up and go to work. Okay, you gotta pay the bills. You gotta take care of yourself. You know, that's the basic requirements of life. Take care of yourself. We're arranged to have someone take care of you for you, but that person isn't gonna be me. Anyway, so let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you for the joy you give us over our relationship with you, the strength you give us, and the guidance you give us through your word. Lord, we pray for anyone that's listening today that they'd be encouraged to trust in you and you alone, and that they would draw close to you whenever they need help. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.